0433 98 11 16. Your recollections of where you were yesterday. Matt Shervington was hosting the coverage on Channel 7. Shervo, what a moment to be part of.
I hope you went in and bought a car, Jared. It was an amazing moment to celebrate. I was so lucky. It was such a surreal moment because Richard Fox, Jess's dad, is commentating on Channel 7's coverage, and he called the race and then literally came into the studio and spoke to us directly. And we stood there with him whilst his daughter was awarded the gold medal at the medal ceremony. It was just a surreal moment for him. And he held it together. I don't know how, because I think collectively the whole of Australia were crying. They were blubbering into their tissues. And here he was, the father of the gold medalist. And he was breathing deeply and he was holding back the tears. And he just said it is just completed the journey. It's what she's wanted and she's got there. And the relief was just immense.
It was remarkable television. So I was sitting with my eight-year-olds during the run. Now, I've contemplated this with Hamish a couple of days ago. It strikes me as the tensest event in world sport. 105 seconds. And I don't know about you, Shervo. I can't decide whether to hold my breath or shriek at the TV constantly through 25 gates.
Well, we can all see the effort that the athletes put in. It looks like such a ridiculously tiring event in itself. I mean, don't also discount the fact that she had already done the K1 a couple of days earlier and won the bronze. And we know how hard that was for her to win. And then she comes into the C1, the first ever for women. Equality finally reigns in the canoe slalom. And she has been an advocate for that. So for her to go into that with that amount of pressure. But then also the canoe slalom, and we often forget this, is that you're not just battling the clock, the opponents, but the water, it changes almost constantly. So you're having to adjust on the fly. So you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if she's going to hit a gate. You don't know if she's going to miss one of the eddies and the white waters. And it was just, you're so right. It was so intense and so drama filled. And it was just so lovely to see. And we heard it earlier in the week that to become a legend, you've got to beat a legend. And she was a true legend of the sport, and now she's just solidified in that. And it was just a great, great moment for sport.
Rob's text through. I would like to thank Jess Fox for helping me find out that I can hold my breath for approximately 106 seconds. Yes, that's been the national experience. Hey, Shervo, the track and field is underway. We're watching the 3,000 metres steeplechase heats. This is clearly a special time for you. What's it like when the games arrive at the main stadium?
Yeah, it's magic, isn't it? I mean, this is really, for me, and I think for a lot of sports fans, that this is what the Olympics is all about, the track and field. And seeing, you know, just to put it into perspective, I think as a global sport, it is an amazing thing. In Rio, there were 84 competitors in the men's 100 metres and 46 nations were represented. So it just goes to show the spread and the appeal. And the 100 metres for women come up tonight. And we see the early rounds, this afternoon, and Hannah Basick from Melbourne will take part, and she's been running extremely well, not far off the Australian record, actually. She's run 11:16. If she can do that or better, she might find herself in the final. So it'll be a great storyline there. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, Olympic medal, gold medalist in 08 and 12, and then Elaine Thompson, the reigning champion. They'll go head-to-head, and it's going to be a great women's final tomorrow.
Have you got one event above all others that you're looking forward to seeing?
I think the unknown of who will step into Usain Bolt's shoes is the storyline that I want to see unfold. And that's across the 100 and 200. The 100, Trayvon Bromell from the USA is the favourite. We've got Rowan Browning there. If he can run near his best and qualify for the final, it'd be the first time an Australian's been there since 1956 in Melbourne. That would be amazing in itself. But keep your eye out in the 200 metres later in the week. Arian Knighton, 17-year-old American who has already run faster than Usain Bolt at the same age. He scraped into the trials in the third position. If he continues to progress, he may be a superstar. Maybe not at these games, but he could come Paris or beyond.
Rich possibilities within it. So there's rowing and there's swimming. BMX, have you sharpened up your BMX? That's all rather thrilling as it takes place.
Oh, Jared, one of the storylines for Australia is unfolding in the BMX with Saya Sakakibara. If you don't know that story, her brother Kai had a horrible accident just before the games would have gone ahead last year. He was in a coma for 2 months. He had to learn to walk and talk and let alone get back on a bike. He hasn't been able to do it. But Saya got into the sport because of his brother's Olympic dream, and she will now go over there and not just represent herself in the semifinals today, but also the hopes and dreams of her brother as well, who is actually of Japanese heritage. Their mum is Yuki, is Japanese. Ironically, Kai is in Tokyo right now. So it's a storyline that's just about to unfold in the BMX.
All right, we'll share it with you as the day goes along. Shervo, good on you and good luck for the day.
Thanks, Jared. See you later.
Matt Shervington from Channel 7, Aussies Sakibara and Lauren Reynolds out to claim a slice of history with the first ever gold medal in the women's BMX racing, Tokyo 2020, live, free and in HD on 7 and 7+, the only place to see it all.